good, isn't He? Don't you love that, singing songs about Him? If He be lifted up, He'll draw all men unto Him. Hallelujah. There's something righteous about honoring Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That it pleased the Father that in Him would all the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily. Wow. So you say, well, man, we kind of overdo it on worship about Jesus. That's exactly right. He let Himself be beaten for us. Think about that. Went to that whipping post and that cat of nine tails hit His back. He could have said, you know what, I'm out on this deal. I'm going to have robots. I would have got to that point and said, we're done. We're all good. We'll have robots that will just do exactly as I say. But no, He loves you and died for you. That's why we worship. So we're blessed. Thank you for coming today. You can be seated. Good to see you. I know we could worship all day. And I know there's coming a time where we'll worship a lot more. And I hear people, you know, they kind of get freaked out about the millennium, thinking they're just going to worship 24 hours a day. And they're not going to do that. We have a lot of stuff to do the whole 1,000 years. And as we get into the coming of the Lord so much, I hear people go, well, I don't want the Lord to come back because I got so much in my heart. It's because you're not done at the rapture. It's a beginning. The rapture is not an ending. It's a beginning. So it's so blessed to be with you, you know, with Pastor Roger and Dana, then Noel and Beth and the crew, you know, from Birmingham and Lily. I feel like I'm at home with family. And each time I'm here with you, I see new people. So thanks for taking the time to come. I know everybody's schedule is super busy. We all know that. I hadn't seen Joe Piazza in 12 or 13 years, maybe, dear Lord. And all of our lives are super, super busy. And the Bible even says that people would be going to and fro and would be very busy. But He also said something about you. He said you'd know your God. You'd be strong and you would do exploits. And how that knowing comes is from hearing the Word. It doesn't come any other way. You can't go out in the atmosphere and go, I think I'll know God today. No, the entrance of His Word brings light. So that's why we hammer coming to church. It's not that we're obsessed with meeting all the time. We're obsessed with reverencing the Word of God. Amen. Thank you for that 2 grunts and 7 amens. Amen. No, there's something John Osteen said, you can tell that you've gotten a hold of a truth when you want to hear it over and over and over again. You know, our tendency now is to go, well, I'm going to preach on faith, and people start yawning. I'm going to preach on the name of Jesus. No, you could preach on the basics, and it just blesses you. Just like if you had a cheeseburger. If Pastor Roger said, you know what, we're going to get a cheeseburger today, I'd go, well, I don't want to do that. No, I love cheeseburgers. Just because I've had 4,755 doesn't mean I shouldn't have another one. Am I in the right room? Come on. Amen. Same thing for pizza. Hallelujah. Or Jim and Nick's. If you've had barbecue, you got to have it again. Hallelujah. So I act a little crazy today. I don't have a tether with me. I say tether. I was in Germany last week, and I preached 7 hours on Friday, 7 hours on Saturday, and then did Sunday morning with an interpreter. So thank you, Jesus. I'm not having to wait on an interpreter right now. Because, I mean, you just can't get into what you want to get into. And then all my weirdness and my colloquial expressions, you know, the interpreter looks at you like, what in the world are you talking about? But you get me because we're from the South. Praise the Lord. Amen. So what a time to be on the planet. You know, I was trying so hard not to preach on end times today. I was telling Pastor Roger, you know, because I preach on end times so much. I go, Lord, please let me do something else. And he said, no, you're going to do end times today. So we're going to get into end times again today. So if you've heard it a lot, I hope you don't get too bored. But you got stuff that happened last week, stuff that happened the week before that are pointing to the coming of the Lord. We're very, very privileged. What a bizarre time to be on the planet when you're watching verse after verse come to pass. I mean, I think in the early church, they didn't look at each other and go, you know, we're the early church. How cool is this? People are going to preach about us forever. But you know what? They were a part of history, and you're finishing off the church age right now. Think about it. You're writing your own chapter of the book of Acts. What would Paul write to the church at Jasper? Come on, what letter would Paul write to us? I've heard of your faith. I've heard of your strength. I've heard of your hunger. It pleases God when you're hungry for Him. You know, lack of hunger is casualness about it. I'm going to get into it today. It's just like getting married. Could you imagine you're getting ready to get married, and Colleen's not here with me. She sends her greetings from Tulsa. Could you imagine Colleen and I are getting ready to get married, and I'm standing there waiting for her to walk down the aisle, and she's walking down the aisle. Oh, my God, here we go. Another one bites the dust. I got to marry that guy. No, could you imagine if Colleen had that look on her face like that? I don't think you look like that, did you? You were excited to marry Whit. I mean, wouldn't that be weird if your bride's walking down the aisle, looks like she's so depressed she's about to shoot herself? Well, see, the Lord doesn't want the church depressed. The Lord wants the church excited. And He wants the church engaged. Once you get engaged, you know, when Colleen came walking down the aisle, she didn't go, hey, I haven't talked to you in months. No, the closer you get to the wedding, the more intense it gets. You're engaged. And most of the church world is not very engaged. They're just like, yeah, whatever, I'm busy. And could you imagine you're getting ready to marry this girl and you've been so busy that you didn't even talk for months before you got married? That'd be inappropriate. That'd be weird. That'd be strange. That'd be ill-advised. That would be witless. That'd be brainless. Well, no, when you're about to get married, your conversation gets more intense. You're so excited. So the Lord loves you so much. He wants you happy. He wants you expectant. He wants you hopeful. So we're going to get into the coming of the Lord this morning. The whole purpose of it is He loves you so much. He wants you to have a heads up. I say that because that's what He said. When you see all these things happening, He said, lift your heads up. Your redemption is about to draw nigh. So the closer you get, the more exciting it is, not the more depressing it is. Am I in the right room? Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You for what You have for Grace Family Church, Lord. We've gathered because we love You. We're communicating that we love You, Jesus. We magnify You. We glorify You. Father, I thank You for utterance this morning. Holy Spirit, unveil to us new things about Jesus. Let us see Jesus in a new facet this morning. Let us see Him unveiled, high and lifted up with His train filling the temple. Help us, Father. Help us propel ourselves to finish our course in the last days. We thank You for an accelerated mentality. We thank You for great grace this morning for every person in this room. And Lord, we're grateful. We have a thankful heart that You died for us. Help us walk in the full measure of everything that You left us 2,000 years ago. We thank You for that, Lord. We give You glory, give You honor and praise. In Jesus' wonderful name, everybody said amen. You know, I have a push to... I'm not concerned about time, but I have a push to talk about different things for a minute before I get into end times. Where I just was in Germany, I was in Bonn, Germany. It was their 20th anniversary, and I'd preached in Heidelberg at the beginning of the school before it became Rhema, like 25 years ago. But one of the times I was there, I had two different ladies healed of AIDS in the same service. Now, talk about that, because you're dealing with a generation of people that don't even believe in miracles anymore. Same. This last year when I was there, this lady from Ethiopia walked up to me. I don't know who she was. Got on her knees, started grabbing my pants. I said, "Ma'am, I don't know what's going on." She's speaking in African or Ethiopian or whatever it is. I don't understand what she's saying. I'm going, "Lady, let go of my legs." She's on the ground right here, pulling on my legs. Well, she's a grandmother. I'd prayed over a cloth. Her grandson was epileptic, and he was fighting all the medicine, and he kept having seizures and couldn't stop having seizures. We prayed over a cloth there in Bonn. He laid that cloth on that baby. That little grandson never had another epileptic episode ever again. And when she walked up to me, the interpreter had to tell me, the baby's never had another seizure ever. So see, he's the resurrection. He's the resurrection and the life. I was in Kentucky 2 weeks ago. I was with Patsy. We were doing a meeting in Lexington. And a pastor from Corbin, the home of Kentucky Fried Chicken, praise the Lord, amen. You can start something in a small town, it can go all over the world. I preached in Bangkok, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Preached in Asia, Kentucky Fried Chicken. So you can start something and then go all over the world. He said, I was there, I didn't remember. He said, "You called out palsy." I had a word for Bell's palsy in a service. I've never had a word for that. And he said there was a woman there that had never been to a Holy Spirit type church. She had palsy. And she's sitting there, and the presence of God came down on her, and her friend sitting beside her said, "What is that on you?" She goes, "I don't know. It was the glory of God." Went back to the doctor. The doctor goes, "I don't understand it, but the palsy's gone from your body." So you can be in a service and not even know what's going on and still get healed because He's so good. Amen? Same church there in Corbin. About 3 years ago I was there, started having words of knowledge. You know how you have words of knowledge? Lately I don't even have to call them out. They just be able to start getting healed. I was there in Corbin a few years ago. I had a word of knowledge that a man had prostate cancer. And nobody came down. I asked them, "Who is it?" No one raised their hand. I said, "All right, I'll show you who it is, this guy right here." He raised his hand and goes, "Yeah, I just got diagnosed with prostate cancer." Had another word of knowledge. I can't remember what it was. And I called it out. No one came down. I said, "I'll show you who it is, this person right back here." I said, "Yep, that's right." About 10 to 12 words of knowledge. Went and got every single one of them. After the service, the pastor, his name is Chris Romine, he said, every single one of those people were visitors. So God loves them so much, He's going out of His way to reach out to them. Even when they won't acknowledge what's wrong with them, they still get healed. He's just good. I almost call it stupid good. It's so good. So you may be here this morning, you may have thought, "Well, did God still do miracles?" I can tell you last week miracles, I can tell you the week before miracles, the week before that miracles, the week before that miracles, the week before that. Miracles by accident, not even trying to have them, because He's so good. But as we get into this, the coming of the Lord, how crazy to be right on the edge of the end of the church age. Think of Anna, think of Simeon, Think of the flawlessness of the first coming of the Lord. Many prophecies about the first coming. I don't want to get into all of them, but remember it was prophesied that he'd be born in Bethlehem of the tribe of Judah. He'd be preceded by a messenger. He would enter into Jerusalem on a colt. They would beat him. He would wear a crown of thorns. He'd be quiet before his accusers. He'd be crucified between two thieves. It would get dark in the middle of the day while he's being crucified. I was witnessing to a Navy SEAL and telling him the odds of all those prophecies coming to pass. It's 480 trillion times a billion times another trillion. It's 480 with 33 zeros afterwards. Even in science, after so many zeros, it's absurd to think that it happened by chance. So this Navy SEAL, I was witnessing to him on an airplane. I said, tell me about this. Tell me about the odds of all this. This is just math. Just math. You know, in other words, if you don't want to believe, you don't have to believe. He goes, well, they read those prophecies and brought them to pass. I said, an eclipse while Jesus was on the cross? Wow. Talk to me, Goose. This is pretty crazy. You can make an eclipse happen at your own will? Wow, you're powerful. So I say that because for every one verse there is about the first coming of the Lord, eight times more about the second coming. So there's documentation about the second coming. Why? He wants you alerted to it. Why? He wants you doing what you're supposed to do. Could you imagine a football game? You watch college football. I'm kind of a college football freak yesterday. It's all on. Could you imagine telling the quarterback, you don't need to see the play clock. No, when the two-minute warning happens, everything is adjusted because of the pressure of the short amount of time. Your plays are different. Your intensity is different. Everything's critical. You can drop the ball the first part of the game, but you can't drop the ball at the last part of the game. So there's an intensity that you don't even have to talk about it. I start screaming when the quarterback's standing there and without snapping it, and the play clock's going down. I'm going, hike the ball! Come on! I'm not too loud, but I am kind of yelling at the TV because I'm watching the clock. I'm paying attention. Jesus said, look at Israel. Now, we're going to get into some things today that are absolutely remarkable that have happened just in the last few months that show us how close we are to the coming of the Lord. So why do we get into this? Grab your Bibles there and go to Isaiah, and we'll look at this. Why do we need to know about how close we are? Well, you make changes in your life. If you thought the Lord was coming tomorrow, I think you'd be sweeter tonight. Could you imagine? Jesus is coming tomorrow. Hey, what are you doing? No, I would think that you wouldn't be growling at people. You'd be sweeter to people. And my mother did this. She had this on us, you know, Jesus is coming tomorrow. Really? She goes, the rapture is going to happen tonight. Well, it freaked me out because I went to bed every night going, Lord, I love you, because I was so freaked out thinking the rapture is going to happen. Well, it damaged me. I'm in the ministry. So, you know what I'm saying? So there's something about it that it makes you pay attention. Because most of the world's living their life just as fast as can be, could care less. But there is a change coming. There's a change coming for the earth. The Prince of Peace is about to reign. You're living in the hour where it's a manifestation of the revelation of who Jesus really is. The Father is about to show off the Son to the earth. And when He does, nature's going to be altered. Even the heavens are going to change. Even galaxies are going to bow. The Bible says that the second coming, it's so violent that there's no more mountains. Jesus is about 6 feet tall, and you got a being that's about 6 feet tall. And at the entrance of the King, the mountains break apart. Man, see, we don't really realize what we're dealing with here. He's God. Wow. All right, here we go. Go to Isaiah. Got your Bibles there? Look at Isaiah chapter 46. Run down to verse 9. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Very familiar verses. Page 819, if you've got a Bible like mine. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old. I'm God. There's none else. I'm God. There's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasures. This is why we get into this. He said, this is how you can tell I'm God. This brings authenticity to the Bible. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen before it happens. That's why the Lord wants end time preaching done. Because two-thirds of this book, or one-third of this book, is prophecy. Why would He say, I'm telling you what's going to happen before it happens, so you can see that He's God? Now, you can talk to a Muslim. I was just in London. Almost every person in passport control is Islam. You can talk to them, their book doesn't give you future. You can talk to a Buddhist, their book doesn't give you future. This is the only book that gives you future. Our dad's God. Don't mean to be mean, but listen to this. I've done this every time, but hang with me. This is a lot of info, so run with me mentally for a minute. Listen to all these. Listen to the first 10 names of guys in the Bible. Adam means man. Seth means appointed. Enos means mortal. Canaan means sorrow. Mahalalel means the blessed God. Jared means shall come down. Enoch means teaching. Methuselah means his death brings. Lamech means despairing. Noah means rest. Put them all together. Man is appointed mortal with sorrow. The blessed God shall come down teaching that his death brings the despairing rest. Gives you the entire plan of redemption with the first 10 names of guys in the Bible. Because he said, I'm God. I'm God. I'll tell you what's going to happen before it happens. So with that, we go into all the signs of the second coming. Because the rapture is signless. There's no signs for the rapture, but the second coming is like 50. So let's go look at some of them. Go over to Luke. And we've done this a lot, but let's go. Let's go to Luke because we'll get into some new things that happened. About 3 or 4 things happened the last few months that are just remarkable. So grab your Bibles there and buzz over to Luke. Let's go to Luke 21. And let's look at what Jesus said you could pay attention to tell where you are in time. Pretty amazing. Let's find out what Jesus had to say to look at to make sure you know where you are. So look at Luke 21. You know the verses so well. Luke 21, verse 24. Grab your Bibles there and go over there to verse 24. Jesus said, they'll fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive unto all nations. Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles or nations are fulfilled. So Jesus tied timing to a city. He said, when you see Jerusalem, one back, time's up. So when did that happen? 1967, called the Six-Day War. We've talked about it every time I've come. So that war happened. They were completely surrounded, and they're basically completely surrounded today, just like 1967. The Arabs, this last week, the Arab League said, you know what, we want to fix the Palestinian-Israeli issue, but you have to go back to the borders of the Six-Day War. It all goes back to 1967. They're pushing that because they can't stand that Jerusalem was won back. They want to take Jerusalem away from Israel. We were talking about it last night. Our Supreme Court, on the day it passed same-sex marriage, passed a resolution that if you're born in Jerusalem, you don't have Israel on your passport. In other words, that'd be like saying, I'm born in Washington, D.C., I'm not an American. How weird is that? See, that's insane. That's that stupid mentality that's out there right now to try to take Jerusalem away from Israel. You had Turkey's president 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and 4 weeks ago. Turkey's president, and pay attention to Turkey's president. Watch Erdogan. He said publicly, I will grab Islam, and we will ascend unto the mount and take Jerusalem for the Jews, and we'll protect the Palestinians. Now, that's a verbiage coming that's going to be soon, the Antichrist saying that. So you're living when all this verbiage is coming out that never came out before. Because Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem one back, time's up. You know all the stories because I want to get through all the signs. But remember the Egyptian army was coming down toward Israel during the Six-Day War? 88 Egyptian tanks coming down toward Israel. And one Israeli cook, he said, you know what, if I'm going to die, I'm going to go out in style. And he hops into a tank. Could you imagine hopping into a tank, figure out how to put a shell in? He figures out how to put a shell in and starts firing shells at the Egyptian army. 88 tanks against one Israeli tank. And the guy doesn't even know how to fire shells. I mean, think of jumping into it. Whit, jump into that tank right there, and I want you to hit a target 800 feet away. I'd be like, are you serious? I mean, first of all, loaded in there, aiming the thing. I'd be afraid I'd put it in backwards and blow the tank up. He starts firing shells at the Egyptian army. Egyptian commander comes out with a white flag. He said, I'm here to surrender to the highest-ranking officer. The Israeli guy goes, highest-ranking officer? It's just me. He goes, oh, no, it's not just you. The whole countryside was filled with tanks with men dressed in white. You've been shelling us all night, and we can't stand it anymore. Yeah, it's called a miracle. When I was in Israel 2 years ago, the newspaper came out from Saudi Arabia saying, we still don't understand how Israel won the Six-Day War. And they attributed it to those men dressed in white on the front of the tanks called angels. So you got divine intervention in your lifetime. Divine intervention. Jerusalem's won back. And Jesus said, when you see that, time's up. So watch Jesus get even clearer to help us get this, because that's pretty bold. So go down to verse 29, run down there in your Bibles there. And he spake to them a parable. Now what's a parable for? To make what he had just said make more sense. So he said, now watch this, look at Israel, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth or bud, you see and know of your own selves that summer or harvest is nigh at hand. Wow. Likewise, when you see these things come to pass, freak out. No. He said, when you see these things come to pass, no. When you see these things come to pass, no. Not wonder, not sense. When you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. So what's he telling you this for? So you can know something. You can know how close you are to the kingdom being nigh at hand. He said, when you see these things, what things? Israel made a nation and Jerusalem won back. And watch what he says. Verse 32. You got verse 32? You ready for that one? Buckle up. Here we go. Verse 32. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all is fulfilled. He basically said, the group that sees those two events, you're it. And I hear people go, well, I'm not comfortable with that. It don't matter. I hear people go, I don't believe that. It still don't matter. At the resurrection, you didn't have the church out there going, 3, 2, 1, here he comes. No. No one was out there. They were all running and hiding. And Jesus was raised from the dead. Boom, there it happened. So just like with this, Jesus said, when you see these two events, you can mark it down in your book. And then the next verse even gets bolder. Heaven and earth will be altered, but you can't alter this. Look at the next verse. Heaven and earth will be altered, but you can't alter these words. If you see these two events happen, you're it. So, we've talked about it a lot. This is pretty radical. Israel made a nation, Jerusalem back. Jesus said you could see it and you could know it. Remember Kenneth Hagin talking about a spirit of seeing and knowing on the church. Where's that from? It's from that verse right there. An attitude of seeing and knowing. So let's talk about this for a minute. 1917, man, there's a lot to get into. Everybody run with me. Everybody mentally with me? Everybody okay? Everybody so glad you came? How many glad you're here? You're not in jail? Come on, praise God. All right. You don't want to be in church. You want to be in church, you don't want to be in jail. 1917, this is a lot of info, but hang with me. 1917, Allenby, an Australian general, flies into Jerusalem. They passed out leaflets before he came. Allenby's coming, Allenby's coming. Well, they didn't even know what that meant. Allenby in Arabic meant a prophet sent from God to deliver you your land. So the Turks are like, well, we can't fight God. So then he flies in a biplane. They'd never even seen an airplane before. Allenby comes buzzing in a biplane. They're like, it's God, it's a sign from heaven. They drop their weapons. This last week, the Palestinians said, we want England to apologize for the Balfour Declaration. That happened in 1917. That's when that all happened. They got their land back. Okay? What happened in the church? Kenneth Hagin was born. Okay? The Lord appeared to his mother and told him to name him John. She said, I don't like the name John, I like the name Kenneth. So she didn't name him John. Don't you love that? And the Lord told his mother that he would have a part in getting the earth ready for the second coming. Not everything, but a part. I preached in Rhema, Norway, Rhema, Italy, Rhema, Germany, Rhema, Australia, Rhema, Bangkok. Name a country. There's 8 Rhemas in Germany. Okay? You know what Hagin means in the Hebrew? One to go before to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. There's a lady in Mark Brzee's church that died a couple years ago and they defibrillated her and got her back. She's a real normal lady. She goes to heaven. She's in heaven talking to Jesus. She's just all Kenneth Hagin. She goes, oh, look, there's Kenneth Hagin. Jesus said, you mean John? So if your name's supposed to be John, it's supposed to be John. You can run, but you can't hide, okay? So here Brother Hagin is basically, with no fanfare whatsoever, sowing the word, sowing the word, sowing the word, sowing the word, sowing the word. So you have the earth getting ready for the coming of the Lord. You want to get even crazier, because I want to go through all these signs. I got a bunch of them. Even crazier, when late 80s, I was in these prayer meetings in Tulsa with Mark Brzee, and they kept praying out, John's legs to the east, John's legs to the east. They were talking about Mark Brzee's ministry to the east. It started all those Bible schools in Europe that Rhema has now. Okay, listen to the last names of all the Bible school heads up of each of the nations. John and Michelle Grunewald, that's my sister and brother-in-law, Grunewald, went and started Rhema, Germany. Tony and Patsy Caminetti started the one in Italy. Chuck and Sheila Banks started the one in England. Tim and Vicky Kilstrom started the one in Sweden. Their last names are all appropriate to the country they went to. That's just a coincidence. No. Jesus is about to come back. So all those Bible schools, isn't that crazy that God is big enough to get their names set up? That's pretty crazy. So we're blessed. So let's run through some of them. We got a lot because I want to get into the ones that happened this last week. So you got number one, Israel made a nation. Number two, Jerusalem won back. Jesus said, if you see those two, you're the generation. Now I have about 50. Now Ezekiel prophesied that there'd be fish in the Dead Sea. Okay? Fish start showing up in the Dead Sea. Guess when they start showing up? This year. Okay? So you got stuff happening not just in 1967, not just in 1948, not just in 1492, you got stuff happening this year. 5 weeks ago, you had foxes show up on the Temple Mount. That's a pretty big deal. Lamentations 5:18 says, when you see foxes up on the Temple Mount, it's an indication that the Temple Mount's been that desecrated that it's time for the third temple. So you had all the rabbis going, oh my God. This is on the Jerusalem Post, front page of the Jerusalem Post. Foxes on the Temple Mount. So you got fish in position, you got foxes in position. Then after that, you got the Hebrew language restored. Remember the Bible says right before the coming of the Lord, he'd restore to them a pure language. 100 years ago, no one spoke Hebrew. Now they all speak Hebrew. One guy, Eliyahu ben Yehuda, said, you know what? We ought to speak Hebrew here. This last week, a linguist just came out showing that Hebrew is the original language before the Tower of Babel, God's language. I don't know how they figured that out, but it was pretty cool to see a secular guy tie it to Hebrew. So in your lifetime, language restored. Look, Google it. See if you can find somebody speaking Hittite, somebody speaking Amorite, somebody speaking Canaanite. Can't find it, but you can find them speaking Hebrew because God said he would do that. All right, after that, you got the Ethiopian Jews brought back. Remember, 1992, Israel sent C-130 planes right down into Ethiopia and airlifted 18,000 out in one day. First time ever. You had an airplane that had a manifest of 180 passengers. Well, it landed, it had 187. You had 7 babies born while they're flying from Ethiopia to Israel. I mean, isn't that weird? You take off with 180, you land with 300 people. What in the world's going on? A lot of babies born flying from Ethiopia to Israel. So you got destiny things happening in front of your eyes. Chuck Roberts on CNN Headline News said an exodus that eclipses the book of Exodus. Listen, when CNN's preaching about what God's doing, you better lift up your head. The Lord's about to come back. Because CNN doesn't really talk about what the Lord's doing. So you got a lot more. So then you have, there's so many. You got the revival of the Roman Empire. The establishment of the United States of Europe. I flew from Norway down to Nice. They don't even stamp your passport anymore. They have the woman from the book of Revelation on their money. You can go to the Capitol building in Strasbourg, France, and the building's not similar to the Tower of Babel. It's identical to the Tower of Babel. Their slogan is, we'll take God out of the picture. We'll be our own gods. It's unbelievable. You can look at just across from there where that Capitol building is. There's a company called CERN, C-E-R-N. You should Google it, C-E-R-N. They're looking for the God particle. It's in Switzerland. It's a particle collider. They're trying to find the God particle. Look it up. Their logo is 666. Just like you go into the Capitol building there in Strasbourg, and the markings are the same as in Brussels, they're all from Nebuchadnezzar. They don't even know it. The art out in front of the building is a molecule of iron because Daniel saw iron and clay. So they're visibly, tangibly fulfilling Scripture right in front of our eyes. So now all that stuff is for the platform for the Antichrist because, you know, we're about to have the tribulation period. I mean, these are all symptoms of the tribulation, what you're seeing. Everything's a compression for Jesus to present himself to the Jews just like Joseph presented himself to his brethren. And so you got 7 years of fireworks coming. Think about it. I mean, God's so sweet, so merciful, he's going to be like, hello, the bridge is out. I mean, it's going to be fireworks after fireworks after fireworks. I told you before in high school, when I was dating girls, I had fireworks in my car. There was a certain spot I would pull over every time. I would do 180s in that spot if it was raining because I could hit my handbrake and swing the car around. It was just to show off to the girl you're with. But I also had fireworks in my trunk, and I would pull over and shoot fireworks off, and I'd say, you can't say you didn't go out with me and didn't see fireworks. I didn't do it once. I did it over and over and over again. You do whatever you got to do, praise the Lord. So the Lord's so merciful, he's got 7 years of fireworks coming. So people won't be able to go, well, I had no idea. You got asteroids, you got water turning to blood. I mean, can you imagine people fishing during the tribulation? We're not catching much. Well, duh, the water turned to blood. So God's so merciful, he's got a 7-year period that people are so hard-headed that the haughtiness of man will have to be laid low because people are so hard-headed, I don't believe in God. Well, let's see about when asteroids are hitting and water's turning to blood and all kinds of bad stuff's happening. People's hearts will turn, and the Bible says the harvest is innumerable. It even gives you the number. Half of the population will get saved. One's taken, one's left. That's at the second coming. So 50% of the earth's going to have enough brains to go, something's up. Just like it took Pharaoh a lot of signs to change, but he finally did bow. So you got all these things happening. So let's go back and talk about some more. Everybody still with me? You got earthquakes. The Bible talks about that in Matthew. I moved from California back to Tulsa. Thank God I live in Oklahoma now. And all of a sudden, I have this big poster that starts swinging off the wall. I'm looking around, what in the world's going on? Earthquakes. Guess what the number one seismic activity place is on the planet? Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain and the earth starts moving. So you got earthquakes. If you saw a chart, a guy showed this to me the other day when I was in Lexington. He said, check this chart out. in the last 50 years, earthquakes like this, the last, you know, so many thousand years, just like this. Since they've been keeping count, it's about so many per year. Man, come 1960, went straight up off the charts. Earthquakes. Earth getting ready for the coming of the Lord. Pretty radical. Okay, so you have many more signs. I almost belabored to get into them, so I put them on a T-shirt. I put them all back here because it's easier to go through. Even if you don't buy a T-shirt, take a picture of the signs so you can remind yourself that you're living when God's doing something. No, I better throw something. You're living when God's doing something because the church is kind of like this. Really? Are we really living in the last days? And can you imagine running a race and you see the finish line and you're running like this? You go, is that really the finish line? I don't know how much you got to hear to find out how close you are to the finish line. Now people critique it. Are you sure we're at the finish line? The finish line is the finish line. So in a race, I've never seen someone not accelerate when they see the finish line. They run faster. So you got sign after sign after sign. My favorite sign, I've told you every year, is Aerosmith's Steven Tyler got saved. I mean, and you know who got him born again was Lenny Kravitz. So when Lenny Kravitz, you can call him the evangelist Lenny Kravitz. That's the craziest thing on the planet. So a lot of things are happening. This other one's really crazy. I'm watching the Animal Planet channel years ago, and an ornithologist, that's a bird specialist. My brother was an ornithologist. She said it's the largest gathering of predatory birds ever in history. 172 different species of predatory birds. Now that's kind of crazy, because right after the rapture of the church, you had the Ezekiel 38 war. Okay? Oh man, there's too much to get into, dear Jesus. You got Turkey pushing Russia to come down into Israel. Okay? We pulled out of northern Syria 2 weeks ago so that Turkey could come in there. And now you've got Russia and Turkey yesterday fighting together for the first time ever in history. See, that's a precursor to the Ezekiel 38 war. Well, after that, God calls them the fowl of the air, and you got birds there to clean the land up. 7 years later, you got birds there to clean the land up at the Battle of Armageddon. So you've got the cleanup crew in Israel right now. So you've got Russia in position. You've got Iran sending airplanes to Lebanon full of missiles. Last week, there were four different planes every day. What are they for? They're being retrofitted with real high accuracy guidance systems. Before, they just fire a rocket at Israel and hit wherever. Now, they can fire it exactly where they want to fire it in Tel Aviv. Well, Israel's like, we're not going to let you do that. So watch in the next few weeks, Israel take out more stockpiles of those missiles. So you got all these groups in position. You got the Temple Mount Institute. Their last names are called Cohen, means priests. They're ready for the moment we're raptured. They're going to rebuild the temple. That's all they've been talking about is rebuilding the temple. They're going to start having sacrifices. So the crew that's there for sacrifices has been going through all their purification things for years to get ready to do something that happens right after we leave. So God's moved a bunch of Jewish men that aren't even born again yet into position. So you got birds in position. You got fish in position. You got foxes in position. You got Jewish men in position. What's the church doing? Are we really living in the last days? How can you be bold about that? I mean, how many signs do you need before you realize this is it? I can go through many more, but I mean, it's like, boom, this is it. Let's talk about the signals for a minute, because I want to come back to the signs. The signals are just crazy. But what are the signs for? They're just because He loves you. He just flat loves you. He's not mad at you, not frustrated with you. He just loves you. Now, if you're driving from Jasper back to Birmingham, I think the sign was about maybe 38 miles, something like that. I don't know. Maybe you're driving back on the freeway. Thank God for I-22 now, right? So you're buzzing along on I-22, and the sign says 38 miles. You don't go, oh, okay. You go, okay, I'm headed toward Birmingham. Next sign says 30 miles. Next sign says 25 miles. Next sign says 20. You don't freak out. You go, the signs are telling me I'm headed toward Birmingham. The signs are all here to show you how close you are. Once you get into Birmingham, you don't need a sign telling you how far you are from Birmingham. You've got traffic signals. Well, now you've got signals. I mean, the Bible said that the planets would be for signals for us. All right? You had blood-red moons on Passover and Tabernacles 3 or 4 years ago. Okay? People said, well, nothing happened. They're indicators. Just like when you put your blinker on, you're indicating you're about to turn. The blood-red moons are just indicators that Jesus is about to come back. Now, you had four in a row. NASA called it a tetrad. When's the last time you had four in a row on Passover and Tabernacles? Now watch, this is pretty crazy. Passover is when Jesus died. So the heavens are going like this. I died for you. Tabernacles is when the second coming is going to be. So the heavens are going, I died for you. I'm coming back. I died for you. I'm coming back. So the Lord's like going like this because most of the world is ADD. attention deficit disorder. So the world's like, really? Something's up? And he's like waving stuff in front of our eyes like, check this out. Planets turning blood red on the day he died for you and on the day he's coming back for you. And that's the second coming, not the rapture. All right, so when's the last time you had four in a row? 1967, when Jerusalem was won back. 1948, when Israel was made a nation. 1492 at the Edict of Expulsion when the Jews were kicked out of Spain. And then you had the Bethlehem Star last year. We don't hear a lot of preaching on that. What's the Bethlehem Star? The Bethlehem Star is you got Jupiter, a king planet, Regulus, regal, king planet, and Venus. Remember, Venus is a mom planet. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Remember that the story there? So you had three of those come together. You remember the Magi rode on camels for 700 miles. If Noel and Roger and I were going to do something, we're going to go on a motorcycle ride. And when we get there, we're going to see all these planets come together. I know if my buddies were going to ride on a motorcycle ride, they'd say, it better be over the top. They rode by camel for 700 miles. My buddies said, buddy, this better be the stars like we've never seen before in all of our lives. Well, it was. When they got there, Jupiter, Regulus, and Venus came together. Birth of Jesus. What was the constellation? Virgo. Because born of a virgin. This last year, NBC Nightly News said we have a celestial event. Jupiter, Regulus, Venus, Bethlehem Star. First time in 2,000 years. What was the constellation? Leo. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. So you got the heavens kind of going, hello, something's up. Then you had Mercury do a flyby of the sun, does it five times in a century, went down directly over the Temple Mount. The coordinates for the Temple Mount is where it goes down. The planets formed a sickle, the moon formed a sickle, Orion changed his instrument to hammer, yet hammer and sickle on the same day. That's Russia's symbol. Now here's another one that's going to freak you out. Don't shoot the messenger. Everybody stay there. Everybody be nice to the messenger for a minute. This one's kind of crazy. Are you with me? Let's talk about another signal. We'll talk about President Trump for a minute. This will get everybody going. This is just facts. Don't get mad at me. It's just facts, okay? January 21st of this year was Trump's midpoint of his presidency, okay? You had a blood moon, super moon, wolf moon on that day. When Trump was born, it was a blood red moon. 700 days later, Israel was made a nation. When Trump was elected, Benjamin Netanyahu had been in office 7 years, 7 months, 7 days. When Trump was inaugurated, he was 70 years old, 7 months, 7 days. Okay? Trump moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem after 70 years. John Hagee met with him and said, you need to move the embassy. The next day, he made the announcement. Okay, hang with me. We know, I'm not going to get into it today, but the rapture is going to be on Feast of Trumpets. We know every feast has been fulfilled except Feast of Trumpets. That's the next one to be fulfilled. Feast of Trumpets means the Feast of Gatherings. I don't have time to preach on it, but it's the beginning of a coronation of a king. You have a private ceremony, then you have a public ceremony. We get to go to the private ceremony. Isn't that cool? Marriage Supper of the Lamb. So it means a coronation of a king. All these things about Feast of Trumpets. So when you say Feast of Trumpets, our president's name is Trump, our vice president's name is Pence. When you say our president's name and vice president, you're saying the coming of the Lord. Trumpets. As crazy as that all is, the Lord's about to come back. So you're watching things set in motion that God said thousands of years ago. And you're living in this little sliver right before the entrance of the king. So that tells me as a church, we're all in. In other words, we don't fit church into our life. It is our life. Years ago, we'd go to Brother Hagin's meeting, stand out in the sleet for hours waiting for a seat. And then when you'd fight over a seat, we'd get in trouble because we pushed people aside and raced and got a seat right down front because you wanted to be there. Stood in the sleet, not rain, sleet, because we were hungry. So this same group that we were talking about this last night, this spirit of faith, this same group that we have now, let's don't back down from what brought us to the table. Because we all have buddies that are like, yeah, I'm not hungry anymore. Well, okay. Could you imagine right before the wedding? I said it. Could you imagine Colleen's walking down the aisle? I'm standing there all excited, and Colleen's going, oh, here we go. Could you imagine? Wouldn't that freak you out? If that's the way it was at your wedding, I think you made a mistake. If she was saying another one bites the dust as she's walking towards you, something's wrong. Did she say that? No, you didn't say that. Here we go, my God. Here we go, it's time to get married. No, there should be an anticipation, there should be an excitement. All these signs, all these signals are just to make you be transformed. Okay, God's got some surprises for us. Now hang with me, I'm stopping right now. Dear Lord, help me. When Colleen and I got married, I bought a gift from Tiffany's. So the day they're putting their makeup on, they had this lady flew from California, a friend of Colleen's that did the makeup for all the stars. She comes to Tulsa, they're doing all their makeup. Lauren's there with them, they're up there. So I had my best man bring a gift from Tiffany's to my wife-to-be while they're even getting ready. I had David Ellis in the backyard playing the piano, Colleen's favorite song. So all of a sudden, Colleen gets a gift from Tiffany's. Next thing she knows, she's got her favorite song being played in the backyard. Why? Because I wanted my bride-to-be to go, oh, wow, that's so cool. I got a box from Tiffany's. I got music being played, my favorite songs. Just so she'd be in a wonderful mood before she gets married. So if I think like that, think how the Lord thinks about you. If I can go to that kind of extremes to get a guy to play her favorite song so the windows are open so she can be like, oh, wow, that's cool. And then Ross shows up with a box from Tiffany's because I want her excited. God wants you excited. He wants you freaked out that you may not believe it, it doesn't really even matter, but you're about to see Him. I remember Jesus appearing to me in 1987. I was praying a lot because my wife was pregnant and Lauren was coming. And so, boy, come 7 o'clock, man, she's out. So I was praying a lot and I was in my middle bedroom. Next thing you know, I started bawling like a baby. Look up, there's Jesus standing there, white robe. He told me to preach on the coming of the Lord. I'll never forget as long as I live. You know how you think of all the cool things you'd say afterwards, like, would you like a Diet Coke? Can I get you a steak? I mean, that stuff doesn't happen. I mean, it just doesn't happen, man. I'm like, just bawling. And the Lord goes, I want you to preach on end times. Warn people that I'm coming. And I said, I don't want to do that. He said, it doesn't matter what you want to do. It's what you're supposed to do. So I'm like, okay. So I didn't really do that. I preached on gifts of the Spirit, you know, like power before the coming of the Lord to try to kind of kill my conscience, you know, because I equated that with weirdness. You know, with Elijah and John the Baptist with locust burgers and leather and weird. You know, rah. So 3 years later, I'm in Hastings, Michigan. I'm staying at a buddy of mine's house. He has these real cool office with walnut walls. And I'd go sit in his office and listen to praise music by Sandy Patty, singing songs about Jesus. This is 1990. So 3 years after he appears to me, he tells me to preach on the coming of the Lord. I really hadn't done it. I'd preached some on it, but not very much. So there in that office in Hastings, I'm sitting there, all of a sudden the presence of God comes in. I'm like, oh my Lord. And I thought to myself, Lord, you're so good. Look up, and there's Jesus right there. White robe and an olive green sash. He was leaned up against my buddy's desk. You know how you kind of sit on your hands like that, you know? And I mean, he looked at me. He was not critiquing me, not judging me, not analyzing me. It's a look of total acceptance. The world's never seen this Jesus. He didn't go, you're a loser. You haven't preached on the coming of the Lord. No, he didn't do that. I knew that. I mean, the goodness of God came. It came out of him that I'm like, my God, I haven't preached what I was supposed to preach. The next service, I was right outside of Lansing. I jumped over the chairs, ran over the chairs, and screamed at everybody, he's coming back, fulfilling what that pressure was on me to get the message out. Why would God go to so much trouble to appear to you twice to get you to preach on the coming of the Lord? He wants you excited. And you know, there's nothing I can do to make preparation for you to all of a sudden go from faith to sight. These songs we sing, we're so amazed at Jesus' love, but all of a sudden we're going to be caught up, we're going to be raptured. You're going to get you a glorified body. Man, how cool is that? Never gain weight again, never get tired again. I'll do Elvis on that one, man. Come on. Never get tired again, never gain weight again. And you look at the scripture, you know what your body's going to be like. Remember Thomas said, I don't believe it. You know, they said, we've seen him. He's alive on the road to Emmaus. You know, then he disappeared, took them through the word. And so they come back and tell their buddies, we saw him. He told us he took us through the scripture and then he disappeared. And Thomas goes, I don't believe that. He goes, in fact, I won't even believe until I see the hole in his side. And I put my hand in the print in his hand. Jesus walks right through the wall. Thomas, reach hither your hand, thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. He said, my Lord and my God. And then they go, wow, he's a spirit. No, he said, handle me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, you see, I have. So we have this body coming that you can be handled. You can still walk through walls. And the first thing Jesus said was, where's the beef? He said, do you have any meat? He didn't say, do you have any kale? He didn't say, do you have any broccoli? He said, do you have any meat? So you've got a body coming here pretty soon where you'll be able to walk through walls, not get tired, still eat meat, still have an appetite, normal. We have this tendency to think everything's going to be abnormal. No, it's not going to be abnormal. It's going to be normal. Amen. So there's just wonderful things ahead. I can't even express it. You can feel the pressure of the Lord trying to get it across to the church that there's just remarkable, wild, cool things ahead. We're going to be caught up. We're going to go to the reward seat of Christ. We're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then all of a sudden we're going to get on horses and we're going to fly back to the earth at the second coming. And then all of a sudden we're going to implement the kingdom for 1,000 years. You'll go places at the speed of thought. You'll be ruling over certain people. You talk about overseers. Pastor Roger's an overseer. You're going to be an overseer of people during that 1,000 years. He said, you're judging angels? Why would you? I mean, you're going to take something to court? Why would you do that when you're going to rule angels? So there's a lot of things coming for the church. He's going to show off the church for 1,000 years. You'll have natural people whining or complaining. And the Lord's going to go, why are you complaining? My church defeated the devil when he was physically on the earth. He's not even here now. He's bound now. What are you complaining about? Whew. And God's so cool that he taught you about him through his word, not through feelings, not through circumstances, that during that 1,000 years you'll know exactly how Jesus thinks because you know him through his word. You've learned his character through his word. So whether you're comfortable with it or not, or whether you're ready for it or not, there's a compression here in the last days of the church age of harvest, of revelation about Jesus, of the plans of God on the earth so that we're aware of what's going to happen so that we can do everything we're called to do. Let me just tell you, there is a fuel for the last day's race, a heavenly impartation of the glory of God to finish your course, to run your race, bless your family, help your kids, help you do whatever. Now, I've said it before, and I'm stopping right now. It's 12 o'clock. I've said it before many times. I've heard the Holy Ghost say this, and I don't mean to bore you because I'm stopping. Everybody hang with me. I'm stopping. They'll be almost on you like special faith continually right before we're caught up to where you can't even get agitated. You can't even work up a frustration. It'll be a foretaste of what it'll be like in your glorified body. There'll be such a presence in your home, you'll go, you know, normally that would tick me off. I can't even get ticked off now. Wouldn't that be cool to not even get ticked off? That's for somebody here. Come on, praise the Lord. Hey, that's for Noel, praise the Lord. Noel, you won't even be able to get ticked off. You can try to get ticked off, and the presence of God's so strong you can't. So great days ahead. If you're here this morning, you go, well, why should I be excited? You're about to see him. You're about to see him face to face. I don't think we have a long time. I don't think it's tomorrow, but I think it's very, 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 very soon. When your president's name and your vice president's name mean the coming of the Lord, you might want to lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing nigh. Trumpets. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We're amazed at your kindness. Lord, you're so good. You love us so much. We're in awe of how much you love us. Thank you for impartation, Lord, that we would accelerate, that we'd do the will of God. We're so grateful for that. Grateful are we, Father. We give you glory, give you honor and praise. Help us, Father. Help us fulfill everything that you've called us to do all the way up into the coming of the Lord. We thank you for it. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. We bless your holy name, Jesus. We honor you today, Jesus. Magnify you today, Jesus. Thank you for your kindness. In Jesus' name. Hey, I know that's a lot of information in a short period of time, but maybe there's someone here you've never given your life to the Lord. You've heard about Pastor Roger. Please come back and hear Pastor Roger's preaching. Don't judge the church on the end times guy. Come back and hear a solid, good teaching on who you are in Christ. Maybe you're here and you've never done it. You want to do it today. I don't want to miss anybody. I want you to make sure you're saved. With the uplifted hand, say, that's me. Pray for me. I'd like to give my life to the Lord. Man, don't wait till the tribulation. That pressure's there. Don't do that. You can, but I wouldn't advise it. Amen. All right, looks like everybody's born again. How about be baptized in the Spirit? You say, well, I'm saved, and I've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus said you've been endued with power, not weirdness. So maybe you're here and you've never been filled. You want to get filled today. Just slip your hand up real high. We were talking about it in the back room. In Boise, I had 30 filled one service, 30 filled the next service, 30 filled the next service. 90 people filled, teaching on coming of the Lord. Orlando, 28 filled one service, preached on the coming of the Lord. See, there's a whole new group of people coming in that have not gotten baptized. So if you haven't, don't be embarrassed. Please don't be embarrassed. If you haven't, just do it. We can pray for you today. You can do it whenever you want. I don't care when you get it. You just need it. Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem until you get this. And I'll say this. You should be praying in tongues more than you've ever prayed in tongues. This is a season to make yourself. Don't wait till you feel like praying in tongues. Make yourself, when you're walking around your house, pray in tongues. Amen. Sure glad you came today. Hey, someone's shoulder's being healed. And it even goes down even into your collarbone, your clavicle. Being healed right now as we finish up. Amen. Some other things, your toes. You got some kind of damage in your toes. Now, I say this because I had a pastor friend of mine that's a Rhema graduate that didn't believe in miracles anymore. So that's why I'll go into great detail, because I think that's so hideous that it freaks me out. I had a pastor's wife that she's pastoring a church in Lycona, New Hampshire, walk up to me in Boston last year. She walked up, she goes, do you remember in Concord, New Hampshire, you were here 25 years ago and you had a word of knowledge about fingernails? I said, no, don't remember. She goes, you called out fingernails. I said, I don't remember. She said, about 15 people came down. And I said, none of you are the ones I'm looking for, but I'll pray for you in faith. And she said, I was too afraid to come down. This is a pastor's wife. She's pastor now. She goes, I was afraid to go down. I'd never been in a service like that. Isn't it sad that we scare people so bad? It's a Halloween service. No. So she didn't come down. 2 days later, she said, Lord, I'm sorry I didn't go down to get that fingernail. She had no fingernail on her ring finger. 2 days later, she said, Lord, I'm sorry. She said, is it okay? I'll take it right now. Right then, her fingernail grew in. That night, her boyfriend asked her to marry her and put a ring on that finger. The Lord loves you so much, you'll have a guy fly to Concord, call out fingernails, just so you can get your fingernail before you get engaged, because He loves you so much. He's so good, so good. So somebody's toes were being healed. I don't know what's wrong with your toes, but just take it. Praise God. Lord, we thank you. Let's thank Him for just a second, then we'll go. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for healing that person's toes, healing that person's shoulder. Thank you for their collarbone being restored, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for an expansion in someone's breathing capacity. Thank you for the lungs being made whole today. We thank you for that, Lord. You're so good. You're so good, so good, so good. Thank you for that. Thank you for perfect blood flow for people's extremities. Thank you for blood flow for their arms and their legs and their hands. Their extremities, restore their blood flow, Lord. I thank you for that. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for that, Lord. That's so kind of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you. Somebody's balanced. You got some kind of trouble with your balance. You know, and I so casually call these things out, but I was in Mount Pleasant. I've told you before, Monty Knudsen is the pastor. I had a word of knowledge. Just call it out that someone can't write. Never even heard of that. This guy walks up to me afterwards. He's bawling like a baby. I thought I said something to offend him. I really did. He's just boo-hooing. I thought, man, what did I do to get him freaked out? He goes, I've never written before in my entire life. He said, I had a disease like dyslexia. I've never written before. He said, you call that out, and I wrote a poem about the coming of the Lord. Monty Knudsen's church in Mount Pleasant, Iowa. So see, you can casually call something out, someone starts writing that has never written before in their life. That's how cool God is. Hey, thanks for coming today. I'm excited. I see a day when Pastor Roger's kicking the walls out. He's got a helicopter pad right on the top. Then he's got a pole where he swings in like Batman and said, Jesus is coming. Just expect the unexpected. Expect wild. I believe right before the coming of the Lord, you guys will be having church 24 hours a day. And I know I say that. I've said it before. Pastor Roger, go, Alan, take service 7 to 9. You take service 9 to 11. You take 11 to 1. You take 1 to 3. You take it 3 to 5. There will be a safe house right before the rapture of the church. People will be coming in going, what is that? Jesus is just about to come back. So we are that crazy group that happens to know what a spirit of faith is, so that God would have a certain flavor right before the coming of the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming. We'll come back tonight. We'll get into the 7 sins of Sapphira. No, we're not going to do that. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. I'll sing a little bit, and then we'll see what direction the Lord wants to go. will cast out fear from everybody while we're singing. Let's thank Him one more time. It's good to honor Him before we go. Lord, we love You. We magnify You. We bless You. Thank You for Your kindness, Lord. Thank You for Your kindness. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Your mercy endures forever. Someone's blood pressure is being healed too. Just worshiping God, your blood pressure is being healed. Lord, thank You for restoring their blood pressure correctly. Thank You for that, Father. We magnify You, glorify You. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Somebody else with balance, you got some kind of trouble with your inner ear. That's a second person. Trouble with your balance. Lord, thank You for restoring their balance. Thank You for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.